Now, Helmut, inna matazawajin, matazawajin.
Today, I want to talk about Arabic, and I want to talk about why it is important. If you want to stay the course, you have to change what you're doing. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again if it's not working. Now, I'm going to talk about my experience. There may be other people who have learned Arabic very quickly. I haven't, and I'm going to go through sort of the stages of my approach to Arabic, the things that I have changed in order to stay the course, and I'll show you sort of where I'm at right now. My initial motivation was a visit to Jordan, to Petra, the sudden realization that there are 400 million people in the world who speak Arabic. So I got very interested in the Middle East. I bought books on the history of the Arabs, two books in particular, one by Albert Hourani and another one by somebody, McIntosh, something or other, the Arabs. But it gives you a perspective on the Arabs that starts before Islam, that deals with Yemen and the Fertile Crescent and Egypt and North Africa and all these different Iraq and the relationship with Persia, with the Byzantine Empire, with the Greeks, with there's a whole bunch of stuff there that's very, very interesting. I was motivated. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna learn Arabic and I'm gonna learn Persian and I'm gonna learn Turkish so that I can really get into the Middle East. Well, what I discovered, of course, language learning is all about motivation. Minus the obstacles, like there are obstacles, so you need a lot of motivation to overcome the obstacles, and you need time. Back in November of 2017, I was very motivated. Then I started hitting the obstacles. So the biggest obstacle initially is the writing system. They don't use the Latin alphabet. What do you know? They use the Arabic alphabet. Now, the Arabic alphabet has the same origin as the Latin alphabet. That's the Phoenician alphabet. But the Latin alphabet evolved via the from the Phoenician alphabet to the Greek alphabet to the Roman or Latin alphabet. The Arabic writing system, which is the same as the Persian writing system, essentially, evolved differently. I did all kinds of things, I bought this little disc. I think I was at the American, whatever it's called, Conference of Language Teachers in San Diego. They were handing out this disc. So I bought it. I never used it. Useless for me. Not that it isn't good for other people, but it shows you the equivalence between Latin letters and Arabic letters. I got apps for my iPhone, which I hardly used, and I just struggled. Most of all, I just had to continue reading. Reading, I started to get a sense of what the words meant. The problem in Arabic is that the form of the word is different depending on whether it's at the beginning, the middle, or at the end of a word. Some of the words still look very similar to each other in to me because I'm not used to them. So it has remained a major obstacle. Another obstacle is that it seemed to me, and I still think it's the case, that a lot of the beginner books that I bought, this one happens to be in French, but the font is so small. Like I can't even make out these characters when they're larger, but so small. And a lot of the books were like that. And they cluttered up in Arabic. They have this thing called the harakat, which is sort of their way of showing vowels because there are no vowels in the writing system. And this makes the whole page messy. And then when you go on the internet and look up, content on Al Jazeera or wherever it might be, they don't have the harakat there. So given that most of my reading is online where I can click and hear text to speech, I decided to ignore the harakat. Although over time I get used to what those little signs mean, those little slashes, but in fact they just mess up the page. I have enough trouble trying to figure out what letters those are. So that was kind of sort of my evolution. Oh, and I decided that I have so much trouble with the Arabic script that I dropped Turkish. If you see my timeline of when I started these languages, you'll see that there's a great amount of activity here on Link around 2018, 2019. In Persian, Arabic, and Turkish, and then I drop Turkish and I continue with Persian and Arabic. Now, another thing is Persian is easier, so I ended up doing more in Persian. Plus, we had a collaborator in Iran, Sahra, who was creating phenomenal content for me in Persian, and she was my tutor, and so I ended up spending more time where I had good content available and where I had help from her. And the Arabic kept on sort of bumping along. But obviously, the writing system is a major obstacle and one that really it is only with time that you get better at reading in a different script. Also, because it was so difficult for me, I found that I couldn't read away from the computer. I became quite dependent on reading online where I could hear it. I could either hear the audio from Link or I could be clicking on the word to hear the text to speech. I found it very difficult to read on paper. So that was the first obstacle, was the writing system. The second obstacle is grammar. Arabic grammar is actually quite complicated. Unlike Persian grammar, which is similar to other sort of Indo-European languages, Arabic has a completely different structure. So, Modern Standard Arabic Verbs is one of the many books that I bought. Like, I've got books down here in Palm Springs. I've got other books up in Vancouver. You turn a page. 4A1, assimilated measure 4. Hamza assimilated measure 4. Hamzated defective measure 3. Defective measure 1. Like, all these different descriptions of the verbs. And they're all with this very unsatisfactory Arabic transliteration, where they use the letter or the numeral 3 and 7 or question mark to represent different sounds, which don't really click because you're not used to seeing those symbols being used to represent sort of things that you have to pronounce. So my approach to the grammar was to largely ignore it and just to get used to the patterns of how people say things in Arabic. But here again, I have changed a little bit, and I will get to that later on. Another obstacle in Arabic is content. Initially, when I started back in 2018, 2019, so I did our mini stories. So I totally focused on the mini stories, and that's okay because it's high frequency verbs. I listened to it many, many times. And again, if you look at my statistics, you'll see that there's a tremendous amount of listening taking place there. And then, okay, I've done the mini stories now, I'm gonna venture out. So I go and find what's available online. Al Jazeera. Okay, I'm interested in the news. I'm interested in history. And I find Happy Scribe, where I can automatically create a transcript, which is more or less accurate. It actually has improved over the years. I'm paying for this, of course. But still, it's giving me content that I can consume. But after a while, it's all the same. It's all the same news stories. So I'm using this stuff, and I'm kind of starting to kind of get a toehold on the language, but still this lack of content, and the content that I get from Al Jazeera is all in Standard Arabic. So I'm focused on Standard Arabic, and that's what's available. That's what books are written in. That's what, you know, political discussions online are predominantly, but it's not what people speak to each other. And particularly if I go to movies, Egyptian movies or Levantine movies, however much I understood of my Al Jazeera political podcast or news item, I couldn't understand the movies, neither in Egyptian nor in Levantine, like Lebanese. So, whereas in other languages, you can just go find stuff and start learning from it, bring it into Link or whatever you do. In Arabic, it was more difficult. Even when you get to sort of content in, say, Levantine Arabic, the transcript is in Fusais, in Standard Arabic. You know, it's as if what you're listening to is in Spanish, but the transcript is in Latin, so it's not very helpful. So that was another problem with content. But again, you can't just keep doing the same thing. So I used mini stories, then I did Assimil, I did a number of these books, whatever I was able to find. The content in these learner books like Assimil is not very interesting. Again, the script is full of these harakat that makes it more difficult for me to read. I ended up actually importing the Assimil into Link so that I could look up words, because the word list they provide doesn't necessarily cover all the words you don't know. But I was doing all these things, and I just found it a real uphill battle all the way in my Arabic. Now, I've touched on this, but another obstacle in learning Arabic, of course, is the regional variations of Arabic. You know, 100 million people speak Egyptian Arabic. Maybe 40 million people speak Levantine Arabic. Nobody naturally speaks Standard Arabic. But then if you go to sources of these regional variations, which I started to do after a while, then if they have a transcript, it'll be to Fusha. If you use, Whisper AI to transcribe it, as I do when I bring them into Link to learn from them, either they don't understand the word that was used, so you give you something totally unrelated. That is, the AI doesn't quite know that word. If you're listening to something from Lebanon, they use so much French and English, which totally confuses the automatic transcription. So you end up with transcripts of sort of Lebanese content, which are not that satisfying. Now, I should point out that I decided after a while to move to Levantine Arabic. So I don't know just what the experience is with Egyptian Arabic, but for Levantine Arabic, it's not ideal, but it's still workable. It's still workable. So, but this, the range of sort of the variety of regional forms of Arabic is an obstacle to learning Arabic. But I decided to stop focusing just on Al Jazeera and the sort of Fusha, because I realized that I would be forever trying to learn all the vocabulary that's there, because the vocabulary, and this is another point I'll get to, in Arabic is massive. So I said, no, we're going to focus in on Levantine. It's going to be real people talking about real things. So there again, I changed what I was doing. And that brings me to the sort of other big problem that I had in Arabic, is that the vocabulary is so massive. With half the vocabulary in Persian that I have in Arabic, I understand far more in Persian, and I can express myself better in Persian than in Arabic. Although now I've spent the last 2 months on Levantine Arabic, I've maybe dropped a bit in my Persian, but in fact I'm better at Persian than Arabic because of the massive size of the vocabulary. But nevertheless, I stayed with it. And I will tell you sort of at the end here how I have changed my strategy, because you can't keep running, you know, pushing on a rope. But first I'll go through my sort of milestones in my Arabic learning. So more or less a year after I decided to learn Arabic, and I'd been working on it together with Persian, I went to Morocco. The Moroccans were quite happy to humor me in standard Arabic, although they all spoke French better than I spoke Arabic.
Ana uhib اللغه العربيه and اريد ان يتكلم ولكن ليس فرصه كثيره في المغرب لان مجمل الناس لا يتكلم.
So that's sort of the start of my sort of Arabic adventure, immersing myself in the language. Then you'll see a snippet here of me speaking with my tutor Mohammed from Cairo.
أنا في اللغة العربية الأفعال, the verbs.
الأفعال.
أفعال صعبة جدا. And الآن عندما قرأ في اللينك في الآيباد كل مرة ainda يوجد فعل انا ابحث في الـ context reversal conjugator.
نعم.
And he was a great guy, and he was very motivating, and he also got me going or interested in Egyptian Arabic. He gave me the names of some Egyptian movies, and of course I couldn't understand them, but that's kind of a next stage, and that's 3 years ago. And I have the feeling, or I had the feeling until recently, that I hadn't really progressed much since then. Where am I now? I have decided to reassess some of my strategies. So I discovered a website called Yalla Arabi through some of the content that they put out on YouTube. And I got in touch with them initially to ask them if we could use their material at link. Turns out they all of their material has a lengthy English introduction, which makes it less useful for link, but it's still very good content. Yalla Arabi, I definitely recommend it. And then they proposed that I work with one of their tutors. So I said, you know, I have had success working with tutors when the tutor is sort of motivating and flexible and so forth. And that can be a source of inspiration, a source of motivation. And so I've started working with Samer at Yalla Arabi. Yalla Arabi has a grammar book, but it's a very good grammar book. It somehow hits on all the things that I have come across. And working with Samer in our sessions, he explains things and he gets me to say things in a way that's reinforcing and also, you know, clarifies some issues that were not clear to me about the grammar, but he does it in a way that's not complicated, that's very straightforward and very effective.
Halmat, Halmat.
Halmat, bravo.
I dreamed. Halmat, inna Matazawajin, Matazawajin, inna. So I dreamed we were married. Halmat, inna Matazawajin.
Me, you, me. Yani nahna.
So. Nakna.
Inna.
Sorry. Ma kanat, ma, ma kunt, or can't?
Kint, bravo.
Kint. Ma kint, arif, innu, hassas. In ma kanet arif innu حساس إنه حساس أو sensitive
100% 100%
أوكي
عارف إنه حساس
عارف إنه حساس أوكي
so نحن عم نحكي عن هو
هو
حساس so إذا بنت ما كنت عارف إذا أنا
إذا بنت ما كنت عارف إن نو
إن ممتاز إن
إن حساس
حساس
حساسي حساسي
حساسي 100%
حساسي حساس so I've been working with him and also I've been reading with him just started to do this because I'm so bad at reading and that then I read some stuff and then he asks me questions and I answer so that gets me speaking and all of that has been very enjoyable and very effective and partly as a result of that I have taken the position I have to be able to read on paper I can't be totally dependent on reading in digital format where I can listen to things and I can look things up and so I went back to a source that I had used before which is Lingualism who has it and you can find him online and he's got an enormous treasure trove of material for learning Arabic but I found that reading some of these materials see I don't like to be on my trusty iPad which is where I do all my work on link and so forth just before going to bed because apparently it's not good for you, it keeps you awake so by my bedside I have things that I can read on paper it's relaxing and it forces me to read you know the word no training wheels I can't look it up I can't hear it and so that's kind of where I am right now so what I wanted to say in this lengthy diatribe is you know I wanted to stay with Arabic I hit a plateau there were all these obstacles but I wanted to continue I felt that if I were to continue just trying to stay with Fusha and be able to learn every possible word in this humongous library vocabulary I would not be able to communicate with people and so I said okay I'm going to focus on Levantine and that's where I am I'm enjoying it I'm listening to podcasts from Lebanon there is one very nice podcast with this woman who is a former runner-up Miss Lebanon attractive lady and she is a content creator and so forth I mentioned earlier there was one with an entrepreneur again from Lebanon who lives in the United Arab Emirates so I'm sort of discovering Lebanon which is this fascinating country it's so fascinating so many different you know cultures and history and different you know religions or sects and they're also fluent in different languages and so it's been a wonderful experience for me and it comes alive in a way that the Fusha wasn't alive so I would say if you want to stay the course change what you're doing try different things in order to keep going I think your brain and your language learning will thank you for it thank you bye